is Fuck You Dad.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Fuck You Dad. Some house cleaning stuff on this episode. We just got another $10 level Patreon member, Ryan DiPaolo. Definitely our highest profile Patreon member. He was on an episode earlier. Go check that out. Very funny. Professional gambler and poker player and YouTuber, vlogger. Good friend of mine. Thanks for joining the Patreon, Ryan. Really appreciate it. This week, I'm chilling with one of the funniest people in Chicago. We've been trying to do this episode for so long, and it's finally here. I want you guys to give it up in your car, in your living room, or your home office, wherever you are, for John Gatzper.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
Johnny, baby, we finally made it.
We did it.
My car shit a brick on the way here, and he even came and scooped me. That's how we needed to get this in the books.
Yeah, I was in my car and got the Nick message. He goes, "Hey, man, you know my car issues." I go, "I'll pick you up." It's like, let's do this.
Boom.
It's so easy to take the bait to not do something. And I was proud of myself.
Oh,
I was like, you know what I mean? You gave me an out, and I was like, no, we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It was beautiful. And you just mentioned something big because I was just talking to Kenyon about this, who isn't here today because he's out of town, that we're going to miss COVID, not the virus or whatever, but the excuse of I got COVID. It's bulletproof. You can use it to get out of literally anything you don't want to do right now.
It is ironclad. Mm-hmm. And it's super easy. If someone were to be like, "Hey, like, send me a Negi test," like that's an easy Google image search.
Yeah.
You know, there's no like, it really.
And
is.
I've been Googie imaging for a long time, dude. Like since people were like, "Oh, send me a picture of your dick." Yeah, Googie.
Yeah, there's a.
I'm hoping everyone, that's not a racial slur right now. So bad. I hope that's cool.
To Google we go. I was thinking about, it's funny you bring that up. I was thinking about the other day, I'm like, I'm going to be the guy who's using, it'll be like 2030, but can't come in, got
yeah,
COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, that's, we fixed that.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, I actually still got it.
COVID 20, dude.
Yeah. There's a new one out and I actually have that.
Yeah.
I'm the first one.
We mentioned Ryan DiPaolo at the beginning. You have a gambling podcast called the Broke Even Podcast.
The Broke Even Gambling Podcast.
It's very excellent. When did you start? I want to hear about your gambling career.
So
into professional gambling.
Well, that's a genuine hearty laugh to hear someone call me a professional gambler. That is funny. So I'm probably similar to you. I know I'm a little bit older than you. But when I was growing up in high school, the ESPN started airing the World Series of Poker.
Hell yeah, dude.
And that became the poker boom.
Uh-huh.
The first one they
so
aired,
sick.
Chris Moneymaker
yeah,
won
baby.
It. Real
I mean,
name.
That's a – I'm so surprised there hasn't been a movie made about it because it is such a crazy story.
A gold rush. And his name is Moneymaker, and he won the first one.
Yeah, his name is Chris Moneymaker, and he satellited in for, I think – I'm not 100%. It's either like $30 or $100. So what satellite means is he paid $100 for entry.
Yeah.
He won this tournament that bought him a ticket to another tournament that he won that bought him a ticket to the main event, which he won. Like, it's an insane run. It's the craziest thing that's, I think, happened in sports.
A Cinderella story.
It's truly, like, it's incredible. But because it's in this, like, weird faux pas of gambling, like, it hasn't... It's not like a mainstream sports story, but it's like Curt Schilling, Bloody Sock. It's Chris Moneymaker's up there with that that level of like.
It's an amazing story. And what got me in my, you know, that got me into a game, like game, I would say gambling. I grew up in suburban Philadelphia. And I was born in Pittsburgh, raised mostly in suburban Philly. I'm a Pennsylvania boy. And so we were doing that. But then I started gambling on sports kind of early, like in high school, college was where it really started, you know, having a bookie from like Jersey, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that's what really like, you know, I've been gambling on sports from long before it was like now legal. But and just been ever since, you know, I will never stop gambling on football, basketball. It's just so fun. I am not a good card player. I can get lucky here and there, but I'm no hold'em a killer in any degree. And you know, football. But I'll never be done with that.
Should we swap story? Do you remember your biggest hit?
Oh, absolutely.
What was your biggest hit?
My biggest hit in college football was, I wish I could remember the year, like 2009-ish. It was when Oregon used to be really good, and Oregon was playing Stanford, and they would get these exaggerated spreads. And I put a couple $100 in a parlay that I had a Stanford money line in, and they were like 21-point dogs or something.
Yeah, Stanford
won, and the other two things hit, so a couple hundred dollars turned into like $2,000.
Oh my god,
that was the most like,
let's go,
as far as like little to make, you know what I mean? So that's my big like. You know, and I was, when I did that, I was 20, in my early 20s. So $2,000 was $1 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you're like, okay, $1,800 of this is going back into gambling.
Yeah.
And $200 goes to my girlfriend.
That's exactly. Exactly. I don't know where that money went. I couldn't, and I don't want to know.
My biggest hit on sports gambling was me and my buddy Brad split a $5, it was like a $5. I want to say like 6-game parlay. It was like an NBA parlay. And we hit all that. So it was like 5 to pay out 98.
Yeah.
So we were like pumped. So we were like, sure, let's put that 98 on a 3-game soccer parlay for the next day.
Let's go.
And it was like 98 to pay 550 something. Like insane. First two games, it was a win. Second game was AC Milan versus some Italian team I've never heard of. And they were tied until literally like the last kick of the game. AC Milan scored on like a corner and ended up winning. And I remember I was watching it on my computer and my girlfriend.
As a gambler does.
Yeah, yeah. Because like when you're really gambling, you can't watch the games on TV because they're not on TV. That's exactly. How you know you're really
exactly.
gambling.
That's like, yeah.
When you're like, this Ukrainian guy needs to be good at ping pong and I can make some cash here.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it on the computer, and my girlfriend and the cat are like taking a nap on the couch. This is when we lived in
an adorable image,
tiny apartment, dude. And AC Milan scores, and I'm going ape shit. I'm like shaking the computer, and my girlfriend's like, "What the fuck's going on? Is the fire alarm going on?" And I was like, "No! I fucking won $500." And then she was like, "You were gambling?" Like, and then I had to be like, "Yes, but
I won.
It's good. It's good.
This is good for us."
So the podcast, gambling used to be like a thing that me and my dad did together.
There you go.
Because he's a British guy and the taboo ain't really there in England.
I'm glad you brought this up because I was going to say earlier, I wanted to talk about with you, similar to the path marijuana has taken in this country, where it is now much more normalized through legalization and decriminalization. Now gambling, like when I would tell people like, oh, I'm like... 10 years ago when I was 22, I'd be like, I'm gambling. People would look at me like saying I was on heroin. And now gambling is, you know, because it is now legal in many states, including Illinois, where we are, it's completely different. It is now culturally acceptable to gamble on sports, at least much more so than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Similar
and
to pot.
And you'll see like... you'll see like now like betting lines on TV where before it had to be like very disguised. I remember seeing Jimmy the Greek documentaries where this is back in, I think the 70s even, maybe the 80s.
Yeah.
And he was on this sports show and he would say, I think the Bills probably are going to win by like 4 points. And you're like, what? Yeah. It's a football game.
Yeah.
But he was like signaling the spread to everybody so that they could gamble with their friends.
Yes.
Very cool. Very into that shit.
Yeah. I love that too, man. It's been cool to see how it's changed so much. There actually was a bar. I don't know if you saw this. It's where the old Hidden Shamrock used to be in Chicago. Now it's called Over Under, and it is a sports gambling themed bar.
No, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
And yes, I did go to it.
Dude, we got to go together, bro. I mean, that sounds crazy cool.
Every other TV screen is like odds and shit, and it was, it was very fratty because we went during the whole game.
Yeah.
The vibe was kind of horrible, but I would love to go on like a, you know, when I want to go to that bar is not on a football Sunday, it's on like a Tuesday night.
See the real ones, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You don't want the, you know, Johnny come latelys, as my dad would say.
Yeah.
Me and my dad used to go to the casino at fucking crazy times. Dude, no joke. Me and my dad used to go to the casino on Christmas Day because we would go. You just gave me the look that you talked about. But we would go visit my extended family, and on Christmas Day, everyone would go to church. My dad's like a huge, like, he's not a church guy. He's a scientist. Doesn't stand for that kind of business. And he'd always go like, you know, we could do, he always would call it his, he was like, you know, we could give back. That's what he calls going to the casino.
Oh, I love that. Because
he's like, I donate to multiple things, including the Native American population. You know,
oh,
so whenever we want to go out, he goes, "You want to give back?" And I'd go like, "Yeah, let's go give back."
That's so charming, man. Over there, they have, like, I just love slang. Especially British slang is even better. God. And, like, well, this is what you were bringing up earlier. Like, gambling over there is...
Oh, it's, dude.
You can gamble on, like, you can, like, walk into some place and put a bet on anything.
Anything. Like, there's, like, they call them fruities, which is, like, a slot machine. That's in, like, every bar.
Yeah.
You can gamble on your TV bill. So, let's say you're watching a soccer game, which is what you'd be watching over there. Your TV provider will, like, have a little thing on the guide to be like, do you want to place a wager?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
No way.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I'm with my dad and firmly believing that it's like a weird, like, genetic kind of thing. Because, like, you'll see, like, Southeast Asian countries, huge gamblers. Like, yes. Huge gamblers. Australia, huge gambler. Huge gambling population.
Yeah.
India, not so much.
Yes, it's definitely cultural, and I do think it is
very cultural,
borderline genetic, if you will.
Yeah. I mean,
I think that there's
those two things are very, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I agree, man. I think that you see
it's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, it is very, like, it is country by country, and I cannot believe I will be thinking about this forever that you can gamble on the fucking TV provider.
Yeah. We got to go over there.
That's, you got to, like, go over there. That, to me, like, I would like to know what the gambling addiction is like.
Oh, it's
in
bad.
That country.
It is very bad. I mean, like,
with that kind of access,
you'll see a lot of, like, you know, problem gambling problem all over the place. But they do make a shit ton of money. Like, the government obviously takes their percentage, and it's a smart way to do it, dude. Because everyone's going to do it. It's so much fucking fun, so might as well.
Yeah, you can use it for the greater good. I know. Absolutely. In the state of Florida, I don't know how many states do this. I've read that in the state of Florida, the lottery, like, some percentage of that, it, like, pays for, like, state tuition for people. So, like, in-state tuition for
there
Florida kids is, like, if you're a resident, is, like, really cheap because of the lottery.
Yeah.
It's, like, something that we could, you know, there's ways around. I mean, basically,
it's
gambling's
never
great.
But those things are nice to hear about, but that's never the reason someone buys a scratch ticket.
Exactly.
Like, no one ever goes, like, oh, I'm actually just, I really care about the schools, so I'm going to get a scratchy.
Yeah. My most degenerate moment.
Yes. Let's do these.
I've
got some bad ones.
I feel like I can't believe I've never told you this before, because we talk about this stuff a lot. I was in Atlantic City, which is...
King of degeneracy.
No, it's even worse. Pardon me. I was in Ocean City, Maryland, which is which is this place on the East Coast that everyone on the East Coast, especially, you know, closer to the North, that you go for senior week. It is like this. There's this place called Secrets, spelled S-E-A, and there's like it's like 30 bars in one bar. It's an amazing. It's like a party zone, STD capital of the world.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, but it's notorious for, because it's senior week, like 18 through whatever. So I was there.
Like seniors in high school.
Exactly.
That kind of, totally.
But yeah, everyone has a fake or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like it's a hellhole. so I'm there like, I'm 19 because I went with my buddies with a grade below me or whatever. And I had my dad's car.
Here we go.
And I ran out of money because I had been... gambling, drinking, or whatever. I like found some, I don't know how, but like found a way to gamble. Lost my money. So I go and I have like $5 left. And I'm thinking, I can't call my folks for money.
Because they know I've been gambling. You always have to pretend like you can.
Yeah. But it was
it,
just
know?
Like, I forget why, but it was like, not even that, but it was just like, it wasn't for, I was, where I was at with them was not a horrible place, but it was definitely a not ask for money place.
Yeah.
And everyone had already left. And I was like, all right. So I had like $5. And I was like, I looked at myself in the rearview mirror of my car and I go, I'm going to walk in here. I'm going to get a scratch off and I'm going to get $20. I'm going to fill up my tank. And I'm going to go home. And I walk, and I exactly what the fuck happened. I walked
no
in.
No way.
I
really?
Swear on my life. I walked in, I got a $5. I got like $2 scratch offs, and the first one didn't hit, and the second one hit for 20. And that was enough to get me home because I had no gas money.
Dude,
my car was.
God
I had,
is real, bro.
I had no gas money. And so if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't
God
be
is
able
real,
to get
dude.
Home. That's my degenerate moment.
I had a degenerate moment when I was in high school because the gambling age in Minnesota is 18. So you can go to the casino and
excellent.
Gamble when you're 18. And my uncle had been sending me these bonds for college. So when you know, he'd send me a bond for my 6th birthday that was $50. But by the time I'm 18, it's accrued. It's like 80. It's worth $80 or something.
Yeah.
And it's for when, you know, I graduate high school and I go to college and I need some money for books or whatever. And I knew that they were somewhere. My parents had hidden them from me. So I went up into their closet, which was always like a, you know, kids don't really go into their parents' closets. And I'm like looking through. And then I see this toolbox. And I go, yeah, my dad doesn't fuck with tools. there's no tools in here. I open it up. There's fucking envelopes of just bonds, of all these different bonds. And I knew it, like, in my stomach. You know when you know you're like, this is really wrong?
Yeah.
But I'm just going to turn off whatever is telling me to not do this and just do it and see what happens. So I took some of these bonds, and I took, like, four of them. It was, like, $200. And then drove to... There was two casinos, one you could smoke in and one you couldn't smoke in. And I always had to, I was like, I got to go to the one you can't smoke because I can't have my clothes smelling like smoke.
Smart.
It happened once where my mom was like, your sweatshirt reeks of cigarettes. And I was like, which punishment do I want? Do I want I smoke cigarettes or do I want I went to the casino at 3 a.m.? You know?
Choose your fighter.
And it was the cigarette one. I was like, yeah, I smoked a cigarette. And she was like, you're fucking disgusting. And I was like, you don't even know the half of it.
I just have a gambling problem when I'm seven. Yeah, that's the real problem.
So I go to this blackjack table with $200. I'm like fucking shaking because I'm excited and terrified. Yeah. And it's not even money I have. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is money that I know I'm going to get in trouble for taking.
Whoa.
So I'm like, I kind of need this to work. I turn it into $350 and I go, Nick, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. I take the chips. I'm walking to the cage to cash them out, and I see this table of, it's called like Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
Oh, God.
And I was like, what's that? That game looks kind of fun. Yeah. There's a bunch of people with chips on the table.
Ultimate.
And it's Ultimate Texas Hold'em. I know how to play that. I sit down, and it's like this game where there's community cards, and you got to beat the dealer, blah, blah, blah. And I just, all of it, $350 down the fucking.
And you were walking to the cage.
Yeah, dude, I was done. And I remember losing all of it, walking out of that, like, smokeless casino, walking to my car. And I took, like, a deep breath. And then I drove to the pawn shop and sold them my iPod Touch and got $200. And I fucking drove home. And I put $200 cash where the bonds were. And immediately, of course, like, 3 months later when I graduated high school, they're like, why is there cash in here? And I was like, because I took some bonds and I, you know, I did the right thing. But I was like... real degenerate, like, and just to play blackjack, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can play for free on your fucking phone.
What did they say when you were like, I took the bonds, but I put the money back? Like, did that turn into a thing?
It turned into a thing with my mom. She was like, I'm just really worried about you. And my dad was like, you know, we all fuck up. My dad, gambling especially, he goes like, you know, you got to keep your demons in check. You got to keep them in check, son. I still catch him. Dude, he watches horse racing every single day.
Yeah. What does your dad do?
He is a laboratory director.
Yeah, I knew he had a good job.
He's like a science guy.
Because you can't be a gambler and have a bad job. You have to have some income.
No.
You know? Or you...
Or you're just me, where you're like, I'm a gambler and everything, though. I think comedy plays a part in that.
Yeah, man, that's a fucking gamble.
Of course. Yeah, we're just like, well, the whole mission is like, 10 years later, I think I'm going to be pretty good at this.
Yeah.
like, what a stupid thing to
think. Yeah, it's like, wow, 10 years, this I may get to feature in Dubuque.
Yeah.
And look at me. Oh, God. I get paid in drinks. And like, wanted to bring up that I work at this bar. I've been bartending recently. This place is kind of a shithole. But there is... video poker, there's like, you know, whatever slots at the thing. Yeah. And my coworker, it's just me and a cook. That's it. They run the whole place.
Oh, wow.
It's only one bartender, whatever.
Very cool.
Sometimes not even a manager. And so this cook, he's working there he's probably worked there every day for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
He is like gambling. Like, you know, every time I'm there, he's gambling. I'm like, can you imagine gambling at work?
That's bad.
I mean, and I'm seeing these people come in, they go to the bar, they're like, hey, get like, you know, they like give me a wave and they go right to the machines, mm-hmm. and then come out, have a drink maybe here and there, and like it's just seeing people with that like look in their eyes of it's to be on the other side, to work at a place where I'm not gambling, or drinking, and then seeing the like, it's like what I would imagine people look like when they walk into a strip club. It's just this glaze in their eye of
like I need this, I need to scratch the itch,
I need a fix.
So, speaking of comedy, has your dad ever seen you do comedy?
Oh, yeah. So, my dad passed away a couple years ago. Rest in peace. No sad boy stuff here. I went to therapy. I go to therapy.
Yeah, dude.
It's all good.
I'm sorry to hear that, though.
Yeah. Cheers to Jack.
Hey.
Cheers to Jack.
Cheers.
Never was a big gambler, but loved college football and really set me on the path of college football fanhood. But we, when I started comedy, my parents, I think they had just split or whatever. And you know when you start, you don't want your family to see
Absolutely
you.
Absolutely not.
It's like...
I don't want me to see me.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, I wish I could forget about this.
I saw this tweet the other day that was like... and it really resonated with stand-up. It goes, being a writer is the experience of having this story and wanting to share with the world, except everyone that you know. And that's what stand-up is, too.
It's
I want to share this with the world, except every person that knows me.
Exactly.
But there was this one time I did this gig, and it was like a competition. It was big in the suburbs of Philly where I started, at least when I started, tons of like comedy competition nights or whatever. And so he came to one and he got drunk. And he's like, you know, my dad's a professor, usually kind of kept it in check. He never was he never was one to really drink a lot, you know, at least in my experience. Maybe he kept that in check around me, but he started drinking. And he started like texting me after every comic. He's like, first guy sucks.
Love it.
This girl sucks. You know, so that was like kind of this is kind of weird. I go up and do my thing. But then I walk up to the bar that he's at, and the bartender is a pregnant woman and she doesn't have a wedding ring on. And I bring that up to say, my dad looked at her, he like looks at her pregnant stomach and looks at her hand and goes, mm-hmm. You okay? And I'm fucking mortified.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've never felt more secondhand. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, but you don't want to what do I do? I fucking, you know, I don't make a bigger deal out of it. But she's, you know, cool as a cucumber, goes, I'm great, you know, but doesn't fate, you know, she's a bartender.
Doesn't fate
at all. And then my dad's like, I'm like, what the fuck was that? And like, he's like, oh, we're having a good time. I'm like, no one's having a good time with that interaction. And then he was just like, during the comics before me.
So he's spicy though. He's like fired up.
Yeah.
He's ready to roast.
He's off the liquor.
Okay.
Like he was off of Tito. Like he like just
was
discovered
Tito's.
Is he kind
of Tito's. A sassy drunk?
Apparently. I had never really seen it. It was interesting. He was just like a loud, you know, this man grew up in central Pennsylvania, you know, just never, you know, I just feel like liquor doesn't sit well with him.
Yeah.
And he had just discovered Tito's. I feel like everyone's dad had a Tito's like year when they're like, this is made of corn.
Yeah.
They love that.
No fact. Carbs.
No carbs. And so he was like being loud during the people's sets before me. And then
sorry to interrupt, but you could have just said like, you're like, he really found Tito's. You could have just said he got divorced.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the same.
Yeah. He experienced a divorce. And then, I just remember like I got up there. I don't remember what I said, but I just like roasted him and like for like nothing.
That's good
crazy.
Instincts though.
Yeah.
For being a comedian who just started, you're like, I gotta go off this thing. I'm
because he's fucking, you know, I roasted him and then I got off stage and he was like, he had a pouty. He literally was like, why'd you do that? He was like, why'd you roast me? I was like, because you're fucking, it's so fucking loud.
Yeah.
But I'll never, the wedding ring story is always, I'll just never forget. I will never forget him being like, everything okay? And me being like, oh my.
Because that's so
God.
Like, he wasn't like direct to the like, no wedding ring, huh? Yeah. And you're pregnant. Like, he knew all of he knew that she knew all of that.
Yeah.
All he had to ask was, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know? And that is fucking,
it's just weird.
Debilitating.
Dude. It's just a weird thing to do. And he was just like, you know, I love my dad off the sauce. And, you know, the sweetest, nicest man in the world. Rest in peace. When I was thinking about like, you know, fuck you dad stories, I was like, dad.
That's so funny. My dad, dude, he isn't a sassy drunk, but he's one of the guys who he literally tells the same story, which is he's an immigrant. So whenever he gets drunk, he has to tell me the story of him immigrating the United States.
Can you blame him though?
If
you ever immigrated, wouldn't you be talking about it a lot? You ever think about that? It's like, I have a good Call of Duty night. And I'm like, let me tell you about something.
Yeah. I moved to this country, lad. And you know how much money I had? I had $200 and no job. I hadn't met your mother. I was all alone. And you know what I did?
And that's when you go, you're white. Could it have been that hard?
And you have a British accent, Dad. Yeah. You started pretty hot in America if you have a British accent.
Yeah.
You ever meet a British homeless person in this country?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Wow, great point. And he basically slid over and just became a college graduate with like a white person with a British accent who has $200.
Yeah, you could get hired anywhere, dude.
No one's going to be like, fuck this hot guy with your hot accent.
Yeah, exactly. Well, John, do you have anything you want to plug before we head out?
Oh, I run a weekly comedy show for the Chicagoans there called Tight Ship Comedy. It's every Thursday.
Such a hot room.
Half Sour. It's in a speakeasy in the South Loop. The bar's called Half Sour, and it's under it. And it is every Thursday at 8 p.m., and it is very good. We have a lot of fun, although there was a beef on it last week. Some comedians were beefing.
That's how you know it's fun.
That's how you know it's good.
Yeah.
But it was, I'll plug my little baby a little bit, Tight Ship.
Go to Tight Ship. It's fucking hilarious. Go to it. Go to it.
Buy a ticket.
Do you have to buy a ticket or is it free?
Free as hell.
Yeah, dude.
Free $99.
And it's in like a little speakeasy room. It's fucking hot.
Yeah.
Half Sour, right?
Half Sour.
Hell yeah.
Nick's done it. Nick did well. Know that.
I did do well.
He did do well.
There's a clip of me doing an Aaron Rodgers joke at Tight Ship on my Instagram if you want to peep that.
That's it. That's the show. It's a good bit, too.
And you guys should go to the Patreon and check out some of those episodes because they are getting really wild. Kenyon's getting really unhinged on that thing. I'm glad there's a paywall up because, holy shit. Kenyon's got to chill, dude. He's off. He's in Iowa right now with his girlfriend and he's doing wild shit. And he's like, oh, I'm doing comedy. He's not doing comedy. He's having sex, having a good time. But
good for him. Get a cum in ya.
Get a cum in ya.
Get a cum.
That's the name of the episode, bro.
Get a cum in ya. I guess we should say you should get a cum out of you. Get the poison out.
Either way, it sounds like a town in Wisconsin.
I'm going to go home and make homemade pasta and cacio pepe for my lovely wife.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
It's so good.
Thank you for doing it, John. It was so fun.
I had a blast, man. Thank you. I love gambling. Gambling rules.
Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast, that's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much.